I have grown to really appreciate Thanksgiving this week. I am super excited about Thanksgiving. Are you guys excited about Thanksgiving? Really? You know, once you kind of get past all of the, I think of you ladies, you know, and I know that may sound kind of sexist, but, you know, once you got to kind of get past all the preparation and all the workload that requires to make Thanksgiving happen. For some of you, it's like, I love that. Awesome. For some of you, it's like, okay, I got to get past that. But when you get past the turkey and all that stuff, Thanksgiving is really a fantastic holiday. And the reason why I say that, this week has been a toughie for me. I've had just three dear friends struggling with their battle with cancer. And you know how that can hit your heart. And then some difficult, challenging conversations in my ministry, and then some missteps that I've made that I'm having to pay for, and on and on. I kind of got into a, you know how sometimes you let the minor story of the difficulties become the major story? Probably, I was letting that happen this week. I was kind of in this sort of pity party about life and, you know, thing. And I started thinking about this morning. I'm kind of like, wow, okay, we're in Hebrews, and Hebrews chapter 3 we're starting. But it's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. And I was kind of, what am I thankful for? It took me a minute to think of anything. Okay, oh, I've got wonderful kids. My kids rock. Thank you, God, for my kids. And then I've got a car I really like. You know? And I'm like, and I ate today. And I have clothes on. And I have a place to worship in freedom in this country. And I started kind of going through. It's like it cures depression. Thanksgiving cures what's ailing you. Let's try it out. Think of one thing right now that you are personally, truly, honestly, for you, deeply thankful for. Is there anything you can go, you know what? This I'm really excited about. I'm really thankful to God for this. Can you name one? Somebody? Huh?
Family.
Your family. Oh, yeah. You got a good one. We have a walking art fiala. I am thankful for that. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Anything else?
My marriage and my beautiful wife.
Yes. Yes, good call. You know, I know it's very sincere for you. Yeah. Your family and friends. Yep. Yeah. I'm thankful for you guys just watching you worship this morning. I was like, you are into it. I dug that. That was awesome. Anybody else? Anybody on that side of the room? This side's thankful. Any of you thankful? Yeah?
My faith.
Your faith, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
My house, like, I got a three-story house with a swimming pool in the...
Woo! That was honest. I love it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's cool, man. You know, I kind of used to think that this week I was kind of going, you know, I've always thought of being thankful, you know, giving thanks. You know, the scripture says, scripture's full of places where it commands us, tells us, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him. It's all through scripture. I kind of thought of giving thanks as sort of something that we do for God, because we should appreciate God, because, you know, if we don't give thanks, he's not going to feel appreciated. And I'm sure he does really appreciate when you sincerely give thanks. But I think it's for us. It transforms us. It changes us. It reminds us. This week when I was giving thanks for things, it reminded me, I'm not alone. All these things that are in my life that God has given me, these relationships, these just even things I prayed for that he's come through with, house or car or whatever those little things you pray for, it's like, he's come through. And I'm not alone. Somebody's really watching over me. And that feels good. And it changes you. It changes you from the pity party to the... That makes the major theme, again, the major theme and the minor theme, as it should be, the minor theme. And so I was thinking also about Adventure Church. As a church, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have been blessed here at Adventure Church. Did you know that? I started realizing the treasures we have been given. Do you know God's greatest treasures that He's bestowed on us are not the building, and they're not the sound system, and they're not the cool new projector, though I have to tell you that that has been something I prayed for years, and now we have it last year. It's not the grounds. It's not the equipment. The greatest treasure that God has given us, you know what that is? It's the people. It's the people here. St. Lawrence, my namesake, in the 3rd century, he was commanded by the Emperor of Rome, bring to me here the riches of the church. The Emperor wanted to steal from the Christian church, and so Lawrence brought the poor and the lame. And he says, these are the riches of the church. And they killed him. The Emperor didn't think that was cute. But St. Lawrence saw what we need to see. The treasure of the kingdom, the treasure of the church is sitting in these chairs. It's the people God's given us. That's the true treasures that we have. It's each other. And I started thinking through the treasures we've been given here at multiple levels. And so I'm going to do something right now that I've never done, and I don't know how it's going to go. So you're going to tell me at the end whether I should do the second hour, okay? I want to tell you about some of our specific treasures, okay? And I want to start off with Jerry Griffin. We hired Jerry Griffin 1/3 time to take over our administration and the business side of our church this summer. And we stretched to do that, and he has overseen now and come into the whole business side of things. And he is bringing checks and balances and quality oversight to that area like we've never seen. He took our stalled refinance that was stalled for months. We could not get that thing through. And he came on, pushed that thing through, and saved us $1,100 a month in mortgage. And then he renegotiated other contracts and saved us another $300 to $400, pretty much paying most of his third time salary. Just in the savings he's brought. You may not know that Jerry also runs and leads men's ministry here, and he puts in hours and hours, and that's not for pay. That's just his ministry. And Jerry's also on lead team, and he works hours and hours doing things on lead team, not for pay. And so he's volunteering that time. I don't know if you know, but he stands in the back. If you look back there, he's standing there right now because he's service coordinator for our church. Did you know that that means he's here early every Sunday to make sure things are set out correctly, and he leaves late to make sure everything's handled before he closes the door? And not only that, those are just some of the things he's done and does, but in him, we've been given this treasure of a man who's got this consistency to him. And the guy is like solid as a piece of granite, face like a flint. And he has you know what I mean? Jesus said, talked about the Messiah has talked about. He has a face like a flint. It's a picture of one single-mindedness. That's Jerry. If you know him, you know it. And it's just this strength to his character. He brings so much to the kingdom of God. Also, did you know as a pastor, he meets with 4 or 5 guys every week and disciples them, and their lives are being transformed. And I've heard testimonies from them where they're crying because of the impact on their lives. Have we been blessed? Jeff Hansen, halftime, our care pastor. We hired him, I don't know, a year and a half ago. He's halftime. He spends the other half of his week. He's halftime, but his 30 hours that he puts in halftime the rest of his time to feed his family. He's trying to wash windows and keep that business going. But Jeff's our care pastor. Somebody's in the hospital. Somebody's sick. Jeff's there. We were dropping the ball with people. There's too many needs in a church of 350 and couldn't do it. And Jeff came in, and he's making sure that people's needs are met. And whenever a card comes in, and when they come in every week with a request, a need, Jeff's on it. He's also in charge of he took over our membership program, another area that we're having a hard time keeping the ball rolling, and he's revamped it, and he makes sure somebody wants to become a member here, there's a membership class for them, and he meets with them and walks them through what Adventure believes and keeps that going. Our new discipleship ministry that he went through with the little bubbles, and the way if somebody wants to go deeper with God at Adventure Church and meet with somebody one-on-one, did you know that Jeff gets that card, he meets with that person, talks through with them what are their needs, finds the right person to meet with them and disciple with them for the next year. And Jeff is meeting with 5 to 10 people every week, working through what's going on in their hearts and mentoring and discipling them. And think about the man that he is, that we've been given, the treasure. Here's this guy who, he's so passionate about being tuned into the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's going a certain direction, Jeff's like, I'll go no matter what. You know that about him, don't you? If you've gotten to know him. And that's when all of that he's doing, when he's not taking slack up in the speaking load on Sunday morning and coming in and speaking. So here's a half-time guy who's working full-time and serving us, fighting for us. We have been given treasure. Thank you, God. Do we have reason for thanks? BJ, did you know that BJ's been our youth pastor for 6 years now, 6+? BJ, you may not know, but BJ, he calls me once in a while after 11 o'clock at night. Dude, we have a kid in crisis, and I just need to go over something with you. And I hate those calls, and I love those calls. Because BJ is on it. He is there for them. He is in the hospital with a kid that gets hurt. He is a kid that's in crisis and struggling with something. He is there. He gets them. They understand. There's this connection that he has with them. You may not know also that BJ maintains a staff of about 12 to 20 young adults or young and older adults he pours into them as they pour into 70 to 90 students every week. Did you know that he typically teaches Sunday mornings, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights each week until we hired a junior high guy? That's too much, right? Did you know that he puts together retreats 2-3 times a year for these students that are the most deliberate, powerful, life-changing, impacting retreats I've ever seen? And I was a youth pastor for 12 years, and I saw a lot of good youth ministry. I never saw what he's doing. You have been given a treasure in this young man. And our students under his leadership are some of the most committed, life, world-changing young people I've ever seen come out of a youth ministry. One of our students is at Northwest College. Well, a few of our students, but one of our students at Northwest College was telling me this. He, in the school of ministry, the president of the school of ministry at Northwest College had, I don't know, 40, 50 kids in a room, freshmen in a room, and he was going through, what's your ministry goal? And he's going from kid to kid, what's your ministry goal? What's your lifelong ministry goal? And when he got to our student, he had him repeat himself, what? And they said, what church do you go to? He's like, Adventure Church. And then he went through with another question with the same group of students, and when he got to our student, what church do you go to? No kidding. He didn't ask any other student what church after hearing this one of BJ's young people that he's poured into and what their answers were. That guy wanted to know, where are you coming from, buddy? We've been given a treasure. And not only that, but think about the man that he is. I mean, BJ, I know he has a backward baseball cap, and He looks like he's 12, but I mean, we've got a young man who has the wisdom and insight of a much older man. I go to BJ for advice. And so we have just been given an incredible gift. And he, another thing is, he will not proceed unless God speaks. Cindy Griffin. Have you heard of her? She is our quarter time children's ministry director that works full time. So she's paid quarter time. There's a theme here. Catch it? You noticing it? Quarter time, you know, quarter time works full time. It seems like that's not an expectation. If don't let that get back to Cindy. We expect her to work quarter time, but it's just not what she does. She's moved our children's ministry really from a fill the hole children's ministry. We have these spots and we need people to plug them in, to a quality program that's truly exceptional. She has recruited teachers who we believe are some of the best in the region, who are not filling spots, but who are passionate about their area of ministry. They are passionate about fighting for those kids. And did you know that she has all kinds of teams under her that she's built? Did you know she's got an appreciation team? All their job is to appreciate volunteers. If you've served in children's, you've got a Starbucks card or something and been appreciated. Is that true? Did you know that she has an events planning team that plan events like the PJ party or the Rain Gutter Regatta that bring this sense of unity, cohesion to a huge demographic of our church body. And she has a curriculum team that put together the material they put together is cutting edge. It's fantastic. And did you know she holds parent meetings and teacher training meetings? And she brings a quality to our children's ministry that is just incredible. And all of this aside, we have this woman that we've been given who is so passionate about the kingdom of God that when her jobs are not all done, she's picking up other people's, you know, she's shouldering other people's battles for them. Just the other day, she was like, you know, I can cook for that meeting. I'm like, when do you have time to cook? She's on women's team. She's, you know, all these different things. I'm like, and she's like, I'm sure I can make that happen. Now, I'm not telling you that's the, you know, it's a difficult standard to look up to. Thank you, God. Thank you. The treasures of the kingdom. Patty Roddy, she's our administrator at church. She's our church secretary. She covers thousands of details. She's half time, or she's quarter time as well. And she takes care of the thousand details that we take for granted every week, bulletins that you're holding in your hand, the little slip inside that has all the announcements, all the stuff that keeps us on track, emails that are going out. She coordinates building use. This building is used constantly throughout the week. She is the one who's coordinating all of that. Event planning. She's all the stuff that gets purchased for events and for food and all that. Half the time, that stuff, Patty's behind the scenes doing that. She does a ton of our bookkeeping every month or every week. And besides all that, the treasure of a woman who brings a humility, if you know Patty, and a servant heart to critical things that if they don't get done, we just don't move forward. And have you met Sky, our new junior high youth pastor? I mean, he's been there 2 months, but I mean, here's a guy that we've been given to pour into our junior high, a ministry where just the right leader hadn't come yet. And we were kind of waiting, Lord, we need, and Sky's that guy. And he's already bringing, I mean, you walk in Tuesday night and the place is buzzing. The junior hires are rocking. And have you met Sky? I mean, when you hang around with him, it's like you hung out with Jesus. You don't you? I mean, it feels like you've just kind of been around Jesus. His joy, and it's just incredible. Ken Sandin, he is our custodian. and he sets up your chairs and then comes in and sets up tables and all the stuff that happens behind the scenes, cleaning up after the high schoolers on Thursday night. I know, I took a pot shot, sorry. but that's cool that he does that work, but that's, if you knew Ken's heart, when it's snowing out here, before he was hired as a custodian, here's Ken with a snow shovel, shoveling this place so you can walk up to the back. That's why we hired him. That's why we wanted him here. Because it's like, here's a guy who can shovel snow. No, because here's a guy whose heart is all ready to serve. You know, we've been blessed. And that's just the paid staff. And I think, I don't know if I missed any paid staff, but, and I'm a great guy. But think about the volunteers that we have. Just think with me for a minute about the volunteers. Remember, what the treasures are, what? The people. And so just think with me about what God's given us in Gale Snackville. I mean, Tuesday night, is she here? You are here, hi. Tuesday night, she's cooking for 60 women. Thursday night, she's cooking for 30, 40 men every week. She's getting the food. Think about that. The amount of work that goes into that. Oh, and if that's not enough, we're having a ministry leaders meeting after church on Sunday morning. Gail, can you make meatball subs? Yes. So, and I know we overwork her, but I mean, on and on and on, her serving. Paul and Linda Hansen, this week I was sitting in my office having a meeting, and here's Paul and Linda outside the door changing fluorescent light bulbs in the bottom of the fellowship hall. The week before, Paul's out here raking leaves. He raked the entire church facility and bagged them into about 30 bags of garbage bags full out here for pickup. And that's just... And the gals are like, there's no light on Tuesday night and we're walking and it's scary in the stairs. So the light's fixed. I don't know if you did that, but somebody did that. You didn't do that. But just what a treasure that we have been given. I mean, and by the way, right now they're on sabbatical from serving with facilities. So don't ask them to do anything because they're not doing anything right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cindy has a children's team. Yeah, it's totally okay to clap. You want to clap? Let's do it. Alice Faust, Tara Orman, Robin Carlson, Heather Baumgartner, they put in hours and hours and hours each week running Sunday morning for children's and events. And did you know that over 40 children this summer prayed to receive Christ through the children's ministry? Because of them and what Cindy's put together. 40 children prayed to receive Christ. Leslie Keeley. Okay, since we opened the doors, she has been out there with that espresso cart. Why do we put that espresso cart out there? It's because when new people show up that aren't church people, they feel, we got that thing built. We built it to make them feel more comfortable. They're more comfortable in a Starbucks than a church. And so we try to make it a little more Starbucks-y. Honestly, that's why. That was the forethought with it. And did you know that all the money that comes in from that goes to Africa or Philippines? It goes to some kind of ministry somewhere. But Leslie Keeley is here early, rain, shine, or snow. Out there, since we started this thing. And she's trained, I don't know how many of you, to make espresso. But, I mean, what a gift. I don't know, she's up for the most faithful award, in my mind, of anybody I've ever known in ministry. And so Michael Peterson just took over our frontline ministries or our red carpet ministries and making people feel like $1 million on Sunday morning. I am extremely thankful for Michael Peterson because he's like making it happen and he's got a passion for it. And you are greeted by this big guy with a big smile, just feels great. And so, I mean, we have a lot to be thankful for. Kathy Peterson, Oh my goodness, she's like behind the scenes. She's behind scenes, doing all the bookkeeping, paperwork. Every time you give, she's entering it in and making sure everybody's covered. Your giving statements at the end of the year happen. Hundreds of hours a year that she's putting in, week after week, and something that you can't drop. You know how there's some of us, we drop stuff. I'll get to it later. She can't do that. Right? She's got to be on it, faithful, consistent, and she has been. And because of it, we're not being sued by the IRS. Yes! I mean, and she gets paid this for it. Nothing. Mark Grace, he's new, taking over inside ushering and just making sure offerings happen and all of the stuff's handled in a right way. Colleen Schubert running MOPS. And it is one of the more labor-intensive ministries, but it is our best outreach that Adventure has. Back to BJ's youth staff, 12 to 20 who give 10 to 20 hours a week to see that our young people become world changers. Our children's teachers who've committed to long-term teaching, Debbie Page, Debbie Lawrence, Todd and Kelly Russell, Stephen Robin Carlson, right? Gabby Larson, Joanne Chan. These folks, they're not just going to serve 1 week a month plug me in when you need. They have locked in. And they're like, we're here long-term. We're going to bring the kingdom of God to children. They're our long-term teachers. And I am thankful for them. They're the treasures. Our worship volunteers who plan every week, hours and hours every week, learning songs, sets. And then people behind the board, Carol Herbert is our savior, okay, with the AV. She's amazing and always faithful, consistent, and willing to serve. Dennis, training people on the soundboard and overseeing the whole technical side of things right now. What a gift that we've been given. That's okay. Go ahead and get it. In fact, I'd like to answer that if I could. That'd be cool. Hi, this is Randy. Would you like to hear the rest of our message? Yeah. Has it been a long list? All right, we're halfway done. Not really, but I want to give you a few more. Okay, just a few more names here. Our leadership team, the lead team. These are seven guys who have served, prayed, listened to the Lord year after year. They've been in homes, prayed over sick. They've sought the Lord for direction and wisdom with 1,000 different decisions that get made every year. They're Mike Ward, Jeff Hansen, Jerry Griffin, who Jeff and Jerry just don't have enough to do, so they do that too. Jonathan Kobayashi, who also maintains our website and speaks and whenever something needs to get done and you ask Jonathan, he's like, oh yeah, I'll help. I'm in. And that brings quality to it. And he's getting paid this much. Travis Remick, did I say him? Jeff Price, anyway, the other guys. Intercession. Did you know that Elizabeth Ward has run our prayer line? That, you know, somebody has a prayer request, it goes to Elizabeth Ward. She funnels. She makes sure that people are praying through that, and she's been doing it forever. I don't know, for years she's been doing it. And Meredith is head of intercession, just prayer over our services in our church. And he's here early on Sunday morning praying over the services, praying during the week for you, praying for you now. He probably doesn't want you to know that, but that's what he does. Eric Orman, if a staff person needs help with their computer and something breaks, Eric somehow magically makes it work again. When the server's down, Eric's there and like he can fix it somehow. And Jeff Price. I don't know if you know, but he's also been the head of our benevolent ministry. If somebody has a need, and that happens every week, somebody's like, hey, I need some help with a phone bill or something. And each week he meets with them, takes care of these folks, and he's been doing that for years. And I know I'm missing a lot of people. many of you, I mean, so many of you have served and are serving and working behind the scenes and things that I don't see or know. We can thank God for this building because it's a blessing and the stuff we have and the projector that I'm particularly thankful for. But the true treasure are these people. Did you know that all that was happening? And isn't it interesting to see in one sort of through one morning lens all that's going in every week? Is it? And the blessings God's given us. And a couple things that are coming up to be thankful for. Anya Childs. Anya, raise your hand, smile. She's a little blonde girl in the back. She heard about the 200 new homes that are going in up the hill. Or have gone in last year up the hill with 200 new families. And so she purchased 200 Bibles with her own money. Single mom, 200 Bibles, and she's made invitations to our Christmas Eve service that look like wedding invitations with like wax seals on them. And, I mean, they look cool. She put one on my desk, and I'm like, I must open this. It has this open me thing, you know, and it's this, and it's all the Bible's all wrapped up in this invitation, and she has a pass. She wants to take them to the 200 homes and hand deliver and invite people to come to church. She can't take them to 200 homes. Do you want her going by herself to take 200 invitations to 200 homes? It's Saturday the 9th of December. She's going to, is that right? Saturday the 9th. What time? 11 o'clock in the morning. She needs a crew here to go and take Bibles and invitations to welcome people. We'd love to have you come to our Christmas Eve service. And so you can fill out a card or go see her and say, I'm in. I will help. I will help. I'll take 10. You know, bite off 10. You know? Huh? Do a cul-de-sac. But that's an amazing thing coming up. What a treasure. Maddie Clemens. Heard about the call, 12-year-old Maddie Clemens, heard about the call for a coordinator for the Christmas tree lighting. And so you saw the announcement last week if you were here. She did a bang-up job, right, inviting you. Yeah, awesome. Adventure brings a presence to Duval with that Christmas tree. I think we're the only booth that's like giving out free cider and cookies and things like that. We're not doing a fundraiser or anything. We're just offering something to the community. And we're going to be inviting people to Christmas Eve service there. And people will come from that, from the town because of it. And I know she needs, I don't know how many gallons of cider donated and how many cookies. But what a gift we've been given with her stepping up and stepping out. And then I just want one more thing that's coming up. God has put on Jeff Hansen's heart a way to offer the Christmas story in a dramatic storytelling fashion. And he's going to bring that to our Christmas Eve service. And so it's going to be cool. And he's excited about it. And it's something that is coming up that we can be excited about and invite people to. Because on Christmas Eve, we're going to have 100 people who never darken the door of a church any other time. They just come. I mean, this place, we'll do three services and every service will be literally just jammed. So that's happening. We thank God for these things. Thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. And these people are making a difference. And I know there's some I've missed, but I also want to thank you. I want to thank you for your generosity. I want to thank you for your giving. None of these things would be happening if you weren't giving. None of these things. I mean, did you know that these things are happening? Everything I've listed because of you, because you give. Our student ministries are busting at the seams because you give. Sky Blake is hired to bring the kingdom of God to the junior high because you give. We've had over 100 baptisms since Adventure Church started because you give. Because you give, children's ministry had 40 kids pray to receive Christ this summer. Because you give, 40 adults are being trained to disciple someone one-on-one. That is only happening. All of these things are only happening because you have chosen to give. You've chosen to follow God in that. And so much more than I've shared is happening as a result of your investment. More than I could list. I don't have time to tell you about all the things that are happening in men's and women's and people being fed through gleaning and meals that are being delivered to people's houses. And did you know a tenth of everything you give goes to missions? And that means that people in the Philippines are getting needed surgeries and people are being won to Christ and churches are being planted. And Joel and Lorena King are heading to Africa, and Joel nailed it on his tests and he's approved. Chrissy Close is serving on mercy ships and bringing surgeries to people that are in need in Africa. Several church plants in our region are supported by you monthly. Did you know that you're doing all that? You know, brand new church plants, you're paying for those church plants to start. You're doing a lot of stuff with your giving. And so with that, I want to transition a little bit to talk to you about giving. Did anybody just feel a little, ooh. I mean, we get uptight about when we talk about money, don't we? I mean, it's kind of a tense topic. Our stuff and our money is. I don't like talk. A friend of mine is in the highway patrol, and he was telling me about he was driving, he was cruising up at the pass, and he said one day there was this guy in a BMW, and he rolled it, and it was like going end over end, and just before it went off an embankment, down a 1,000-foot cliff, the guy was thrown free, but it completely severed his arm off. And here's this guy standing there at the edge of this cliff, and he's looking down at his car, and he's going, "My BMW, my BMW." And the policeman walks up, and he says, "Sir, you've severed your arm off." And he looks down his arm, he says, "My Rolex, my Rolex." All right, that was totally cheap. That was cheap, but we do get tense when it comes to our money. We talk about money. My first year in ministry, youth pastor, Hillsboro, Oregon. I went in there and we got to the end of the year and I had to do my taxes and I went to the pastor, my boss, and I'm like, "Hey, you know, up to that point, the only taxes I'd ever done were like taxes." The simple, stupid, simple taxes you send in your, the IRS does whatever they want with your form kind of thing, your 1040. But this pastor taxes are a lot more complicated. So I asked him for his help. And so he's sitting there. I remember at the table. I'm sitting across the table from him, and he's looking at all my books, all my stuff, silence. And he looks at me and he says, "Where's your tithe?" And I'm like, I began to feel a little tense. And he's looking through, and he says, "Where's your tithe?" I tell you, these things we get nervous about this, right? This is a tense topic. And so I said, "It's right there. It's right there." And I pointed to a number on the page, and he said, "Randy, we pay you $28,000 a year to be our youth pastor. That means $2,800 is your tithe, and this is $400. And I said, "Well, that's what I feel like God has led us to give." Doesn't that sound spiritual? You know? So he said to me, he didn't have a lot of tact or subtleness. He said, "Well, God asks us to trust him by giving a tenth." And have you read Malachi 3, Randy? Malachi 3 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse where there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing on you that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines of your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty." And he said, "Randy, it doesn't matter if you're in the ministry or not in the ministry. God expects you to give a tenth." says, this is the only place in the Bible where he says, test me in this. Test me. He never tells us to test him except in this. See if I don't throw open the floodgates and meet your needs. And I went home from that conversation feeling two things. One, I felt indignation. How dare you talk to me about such a personal matter? And it was only a personal matter because I was in disobedience. I only called it a personal matter because I was in disobedience. I don't like being told something like that, I didn't like that feeling very much. And the second thing I felt was a little bit caught. Because God does say in several places, even Jesus in the New Testament says, that we should not neglect to tithe. He says, Matthew 23, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And so Jesus makes it clear that it's his intention that it's tithing. And the Apostle Paul says, don't muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain. You're familiar with that? The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work as preaching and teaching, for the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain. The worker deserves his wages. Is Paul talking about be kind to oxen day here? No. What he's really saying here is don't make people who are carrying the burden of the work of ministry beg for food. Imagine every 3 to 4 months you need to go to your boss and convince him to keep paying your salary. Every 3 to 4 months you have to go to your boss and go, you know, because he's kind of going, well, I think I'm going to pull back a little bit and give and pay you a little bit less, unless you can justify why I should keep paying you as much as I'm paying you. That's what pastors face every quarter. Not every quarter. Because there are these cycles where giving goes lower, and then they tap the emergency fund, and then we got to come up and talk about why it's worth you giving. Can you imagine doing that at your job? How would that feel for you if you had to do that? Awesome. Any response? I don't know if you knew that. I don't know if you knew, but it's not just us. It's across the board. It's churches all over the place. But it's true. It's true. We forget, you know. And there's an Old Testament example. God set up a system to cover his temple, his kingdom's needs by everyone in the community giving a tenth. That's how he set it up. And you may not realize, but Adventure Church squeaks by kind of on a shoestring each month, because not all of God's people obey him in this area. And often we do face the question, will we hit payroll this month? And like Jeff said, we actually had the lowest offering of the year last week. But again, things are not terrible though. I mean, like, we're actually trajectory. We're going to end the year above what we brought in last year. We've also added some part-time staff. But if all God's people obeyed him in this area, there would be explosive growth here. We would never have to talk about this. I mean, we would never have to. We would do it just because of how cool it is to talk about it. You know, I'm kind of split on talking about this to you. I'm excited and thankful for how God's generous people have put us in a place to do all the things that we're doing. I mean, we're doing incredible things. And it's because of your generosity that's put us there. And then the other side of me is like, yeah, but we still get these hits a few times a year where we have to dip into this emergency fund. Our emergency fund, we typically have tried to live with 1 month in the bank. And we usually start January with 1 month in the bank, because December's giving is usually awesome. And then that 1 month starts to fritter down. And it was $10,000 before the lowest offering of the month, or lowest offering of the year hit last week. It was down to $10,000 emergency fund. And so I just want to make you aware of these things. I want to ask you to pray if you currently don't give as a percentage giver. meaning you have not yet decided to give consistently a percentage of your income. 10%. And I realize for some of you, you might be going, there's no way I could do that. You know, it's just way too big a chunk. And that's totally cool to ramp up to that. Start at 2%, 3%, 4%. But if you haven't decided to do that, would you pray about that? God, is this my next step towards spiritual maturity? We have about 20 to 25 families that give 10%. We don't know. It's impossible to tell, but that's our estimate, guesstimate. I know that 10 of those 25 are the pastors and elders of the church. So 15 families, estimate, guesstimate, are 10% givers. And so what if there were more? Now, I want to just remind you the benefits, okay? Go back here to Malachi 3. Bring the whole tithe in the sorath, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Look what he says. See if I don't what? Throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. So Debbie and I, when we're babies, went home after this uncomfortable conversation with this pastor. We sat down and we said, what are we going to do? And you know what the first thing that came out of our mouths? We don't have the money to do that. We didn't. Every dime was allocated. We're like, okay, so how can we do this? You know, and we were like talking about, okay, we do have like a $25 allowance each month for each, you know, per I get 25, she gets 25 at that time. And I'm like, well, if we put that in, you know, we started looking for ways to do it. And we just decided we're going to do that. We're going to do it. And it was tough. And how do I say this? I get paid less than most of my peers. I mean, I have friends, they're my age, they have different jobs, different companies. I get paid less. But my barns can't hold it. I mean, I've been given blessings and blessings. And we haven't given only to, I don't say this, I don't want you to sound this sound wrong, but we gave 10% then, but our commitment is 10% goes to church. But now we also give to ministries and missions outside above that. And I don't say that please don't hear me saying, and we're awesome, but I just want to tell you that we've never given more and it not somehow turn into triple coming back in so many different ways. And so when he says this, I mean, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. He prevents pests from devouring your crops. The benefits outweigh. You can't outgive God. I mean, it's just incredible. So I just want to encourage you. I want to ask, pray. I know we get a little edgy. It gets uncomfortable when it comes to our money and our stuff. But I just want to invite you to pray about that. And then I also want to invite you to pray about year-end giving. December, you know how like retail depends on Black Friday? Like they depend on Black Friday. They do. I mean, churches depend on December. I mean, I don't think it should be that way, but it tends to be that way. People do year-end giving because they want to get the tax credit and everything. And that, when we get year-end extra giving, that always goes into emergency fund, and that's what gets us through February when the credit card bills hit from Christmas. And people aren't percentage givers. They're not faithful givers yet, so when that hits, giving goes outside, you know what I mean, and they pay the bill. And so February hits, and we have a tough month typically. Would you pray about what I'm calling our church health fund? Year-end giving. If we can, we need to replenish $30,000 by the end of the year in emergency fund for 2013. Think about our staff, okay? Jerry, Jeff, Sky, what we've got going on and the potential health of a 2013 that will continue to transform lives and move the kingdom forward. Picture that year 2013 as a healthy financial year for Adventure, that may be the healthiest financial year that we've ever had, if we step up to that health and take up this challenge? Church Health Fund. We want a healthy 2013 so we're not stymied in planning and leadership and development because, okay, what are we going to do now? Does that make sense? I just was at a conference this week where we had 50 pastors and you know, kind of the whole things are tough all over, bub. It's that whole thing mentality, you know. Word on the street was we're operating in the red. You know, I talked to a couple pastors, you know. Oh, yeah, we're in the red. We're not in the red. We're on the edge of pink, you know. We're not in the red. We're in the black, you know. So we're good, but God provides. But would you pray, okay, about that? So, yes, ma'am. I would love it. Would you lead us in that?
God, we know that you are the one who provides all these blessings for us, and that we receive more than enough from you, because you're a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want us to starve. You want us to grow up and look like you. And sometimes it's hard to hear you when you want to talk about things that will require us to put ourselves in dangerous positions, or things that look dangerous to us, like letting go of some of the resources that you pass through our hands. Will you speak to our hearts? You're so kind when you do it, and you are never our accuser and always mm-hmm. our advocate. And we know that what your voice sounds like makes us feel good to obey you.
Mm-hmm.
Will you help the women in the congregation to do their diligent best to spend money wisely, so that if their husbands choose to step out in faith in this area, that they are completely willing to follow in their actions, that it would flow out of that. And thank you for husbands who are good providers and who want to be wise with resources. And we believe that when you speak to them, they are so, it's such a joy to follow them in those things. Lord, be at work in our hearts to get all the joy out of walking in your way. We want your will. We want our will to look like your will here on earth.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Good prayer. Good. Thank you. I just want to close. I'm going to have Jeff come on up to just close our time. We're going to do our communion Sundays. We do a benevolent offering, and it's not going. That is a special fund. It just goes to help people who are having a tight month. But and wanted you to prepare for that. But I just want to also tell you, just in conclusion here, I'm doing my dream job. I love meeting with people. I love all the things that God has allowed me to do here. And I feel like Adventure is full of some of the most beautiful, amazing, kingdom-minded, passionate people that I've ever met. And I am, you are the treasures of God. And I want to give thanks to God for you. So, Jeff, would you come up and just lead us in the benevolent?